Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, a head-turning cover on The Economist magazine this week. A tale of two American states, California as a hulking, burned-out surfer dude, Texas as a brawny cowboy ready to jet ski in spurs. And the headline, America's Future, California versus Texas. Talk about two different dreams. This hour on Point is California washed up. Could tough Texas be the new model for the American dream? You can join the conversation. What's it going to be, surfboards or cowboy boots? With California broke and Texas surging, has the American dream moved to the Lone Star State? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We'll hear in this hour from the great California historian Kevin Starr and editor-in-chief of the Texas Monthly, Evan Smith. Joining me first from London is Christopher Lockwood, U.S. editor for The Economist. His big special report in this week's edition is Lone Star Rising. Christopher Lockwood, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi there.
Hi. So your artist certainly has California as the down-and-out surfer dude and Texas on the move, and your story says much the same. What's the case you're making? California's been the horizon of our dream for so long. What's Texas perhaps claim on that status?
There are a few things that make Texas a pretty exciting place to be. It's not to say for a moment that California has had it and that Texas is now the number one state in America. Rather, it's to say that if you're in search of opportunity, particularly for a young person just starting out, just with a young family looking for a new job, Texas is offering those elements of the American dream that once people used to go to California for: affordable housing, a decent infrastructure, and plentiful jobs. It's creating more jobs than California. People are moving from California to Texas, and there's a reason for that. You can cut your living costs by, you know, anything from a quarter to more than that, maybe as much as half in terms of property, lower food prices, and an overall general lower cost of living, and of course lower taxation.
Christopher, take us on through the proof points that is adding up to success for Texas. What do, you know, Texas boosters point to say we've got the mojo?
Right. Well, one thing is simply just the number of people. Every year, Texas now the largest growing state in the union, and every year something like 150,000 people move from other states in the union to Texas. That's not the only reason why Texas' population is growing, of course. It also has a large internal growth rate plus quite a high rate of immigration, though that's closed off a bit at the moment because of the recession generally. But, you know, it is moving. People are moving to Texas from the rest of the union. That's one sign of it. Mm-hmm. Another sign is that corporations are moving to Texas. Texas now has, though perhaps it's not, a well-known fact, Texas has more Fortune 500 companies headquartered there than any other state, more than New York, more than California. And, a few of them have moved from California specifically to Texas. And that's obviously a big generator of employment in Texas again.
And beyond that, they've got unemployment well below the national average, 2 points below at this point.
Right. Yes, they have. I mean, we're waiting to find out the latest figures from both Texas and California, the June figures. We know that they were much worse in the U.S. as a whole than they have been in May. So we wait to see whether that was the same in Texas and California. Basically, Texas has been tracking unemployment in the U.S. as it's been rising in this recession. But it is just this sort of substantial two and a bit points below it consistently.
Let's hear for just a little tape here, Christopher Lockwood, from the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, in Houston last month, arguing that Texas is America's new economic wonder.
Our doors are wide open, and people know this now. We have won that battle in people's mind that this is a place you want to build.
That's the governor of Texas making his claim, and then he goes on to brag about the people moving into Texas, companies moving into Texas, San Antonio.
1,000 people a day continue to move to this state. That's the reason that last month in San Antonio, I announced that Medtronic was picking up their entire California operation. And this is a company that builds basically an artificial pancreas, and moving it to San Antonio, Texas.
So there's the governor with bragging rights for Texas
there on one company
and the influx. What's the Texas model, Christopher Lockwood, behind this as you see it?
It's essentially a low-tax, low-regulation model, I would say. It's very, very easy to set up businesses in Texas. There's abundant cheap land. There's large packages of incentives available set up, you know, by the state government. In fact, by Rick Perry, he was one of the great architects of this, to encourage companies to relocate to Texas. I mean, all states offer this to some degree, of course. There's a great competition among states to grab companies. But because Texas's budget has been fairly healthy, it's just been in a better position to offer more. And because land is so abundant, it's quite possible to if you're moving into Texas, to end up with, you know, free land, abatements for as many as 10 years on many of your taxes, particularly property taxes and other utilities taxes and so forth. So there are lots of good deals available, and that is the sort of mini Texas miracle that's been going on, and for which I have to say I think Rick Perry can claim some of the credit. During his governorship, that's when the reforms have taken place, in some of them anyway, that have made this happen.
Good deals for business, and that has made it very popular, as you point out, with Fortune 500 companies and others. Chief Executive Magazine ranks it number one in the country, best state in the country to do business. Of course, that's the CEO perspective on things, and interestingly, right, we'll get to California, but it is ranked number 50, the worst state in the union by CEOs.
Right, and not just this last year, but for the last 4 years, Texas has been at the top and California's been at the bottom.
But what about the flip side? We'll look at California, but the flip side of the Texas numbers. I mean, it's got the highest proportion of people lacking health care in the entire country, of all 50 states. It's got the third highest poverty rate, the second highest imprisonment rate, the highest teenage birth rate, the lowest voter turnout, the lowest portion of high school graduates, and you can go on down that list. There's a pretty big downside here.
It certainly has got a lot of problems. I think when one talks about Texas as an opportunity state, you know, the opportunities are there for those that are able to take them, and they're particularly good if you're a qualified person coming in from outside. If you are born into a poor family, particularly if you're born into a poor Hispanic family in Texas, you know, the opportunities are clearly much less. Healthcare is one of the worst things going on there. Houston, Texas, although in many ways a very dynamic and exciting city, has the worst healthcare coverage figure for the whole of Texas, and Texas has the worst healthcare coverage in the union. You know, there are a lot of very serious problems. Dropout rates from schools are terrible. Hispanic dropout rate in both Dallas and Houston is at around 50%. I don't want to deny, and in my special report I go into some detail about this, that there are some very serious problems that confront the low-tax, low-spend model, as well as the advantages. Now, what the governor would say, and in fact, you know, does say and did say to me, is that if you are booming, you do at least have the ability to spend more money addressing these problems. Now, that's,
could, that, but they, don't.
Well, no, could but and do. But the problem is you're starting from quite a long way behind. Mm. So they are now pouring money into schools. They are now pouring money into education. But it's a long way to go because they have been very underfunded in the past. But now that they're in surplus, they're able to address some of these problems.
And along the way, one of the most unequal income distributions of any state, per capita income below the national average. On the other hand, we just got a few minutes here before the break, but flip it around. Look at California. It used to be in everybody's kind of golden dream. It's got huge problems now. Lay some of that out for us, Christopher.
Well, it certainly has. And the biggest one that we're all very familiar with just at the moment is that the state faces an enormous and very hard to close budget gap. It's at about $26 billion, this budget gap. They're hacking away in Sacramento even as we speak, trying to resolve that. And it's possible that we will see a deal within the next day or so. That's what they're hoping. Anyway, but that will require some quite deep cuts to public services. That will be problematic. But there are other problems in California. Property prices extremely high, pricing people out of large parts of the state. Now, that's a problem that has somewhat corrected itself because there's been a property price crash, obviously, in California. So that will repair itself a bit. Very high unemployment in a lot of Californian cities. There's a great sort of line of cities sort of inland off the coast, places like Modesto and so on. Employment rates as bad or worse than in Detroit. This is not the sort of golden California dream that people are brought up believing in. Regulation is excessive. Taxation is excessive. You've got the highest rate of income tax in the country, one of the highest overall burdens of taxation. Taxes fall very heavily on entrepreneurs, with the result that quite a few of those are thinking of moving out.
And unemployment running not 2 points below, but 2 points
right,
above.
Right, 2 points the above. Level. The overall rate of unemployment in California is bad. School dropout rates are very bad. School graduation rates. They have many of the same problems on the social side, actually, that Texas has. They do, on the other hand, have these fantastic universities. The University of California system, one of the great sort of monuments of the post-war period, very well funded still, fantastic, shiny universities. Texas lacks those, but with the money that the state now has, because it's not been in deficit, it is able to pump more money into the universities. I mean, again, a long way to go before they will match your Stanfords and your Berkeleys.
But if Texas has a national reputation, despite all its successes, as kind of a tough, mean environment, you describe California more or less as sort of New Deal run amok or in trouble now.
Well, simply because it's become unaffordable. You're pricing companies out and you're pricing individuals out. And that's why we see big companies leaving California and smart individuals leaving California. America is a place where it's extremely easy to move from one state to another. There's no restriction.
And
on
people
it
do.
And people do. And if you put the prices up too high, they will. And a high rate of personal income tax will make that happen. And we see that very clearly if you look at the analysis. States that have high levels of personal income tax suffer net migration of people. Ones that have zero income tax don't.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about troubled California, surging Texas, and who's got the model for the next American dream. Christopher Lockwood is with us from The Economist magazine. They've got quite an eye-catching cover this week. America's Future, California versus Texas is the headline, and it's a paunchy, out-of-shape, burned-out surfer dude headed out of the surf. Headed in, a Texan in swimsuit, cowboy boots and spurs, and a big jet ski ready to go. We're going to go to San Francisco and Austin in just a couple of seconds here. Let's hear first from California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Things are bad out there, and he's telling Californians to expect to feel some pain from the state's cutbacks and recession.
I think that if you have a loss of revenues in a state of approximately $27 billion since last year, and when you see a loss in the corporate sector, companies, small businesses, large businesses, and when you see a decrease in revenue and income in families, I think everyone inevitably has to pull back and tighten the belt, and everyone has to make certain sacrifices, absolutely.
The word from California, sacrifice. From San Francisco, joining us right now is Kevin Starr, professor of history at the University of Southern California. He's author of America and the California Dream, a terrific multi-volume series on the history of his state, California. Kevin Starr, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom.
It's great to have you. And from Austin, Texas, we have Evan Smith, editor-in-chief of Texas Monthly, the great magazine down there. Evan Smith, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
We've got the provocative Christopher Lockwood and The Economist with us from London as well, and you may have seen their headlines, Evan Smith. Lone Star Rising for Texas versus Meltdown on the Ocean for California. Are you feeling your oats down there these days, Evan?
Well, a little bit. You know, I had the pleasure of seeing Christopher when he was down in Texas doing the reporting for this special report, and he seemed positively elated by what he had encountered, optimism and just a lot of positive energy. And the reality is he quoted some of the great statistics that show that the economy in Texas is doing strong. 71% of all new jobs in the country in 2008 were created in Texas. Our foreclosure rate is so much lower than Nevada, Florida, Arizona, California. All the things that you would look at as leading indicators suggest that everything is doing great in Texas. And the fact is, it is. Are we suffering in some ways? Of course. Every single state is. But I think we do at the moment have a lot to be proud of.
Would you like to see an America made over in the Texas image? I mean, I think for decades, a lot of people thought that slowly but surely the country would become California. Not everybody liked that. Not everybody was on board. But it seems to me that was a kind of American baseline anticipation. California led the way. Would you like to see Texas, you know, writ large, nationwide?
Well, of course, the reality is that Texas pride makes me want to say yes, but you in the first segment pointed to a lot of the things that are not so great in Texas. We do have a problem with people being uninsured. We do have a problem with a high dropout rate. We do have an extraordinary problem with poverty, and as a state that will soon be majority Hispanic, that's a community in particular that needs a lot from the state that it's not getting. And so, yeah, I think there are great things about Texas that we ought to be exporting to the rest of the world. But Texas, like a lot of other states, has work to do on some of these other issues, and I'd like to see that happen before we suddenly turn the entire country into Texas.
Kevin Starr in San Francisco, what about the woes right now? Does that $26 billion hole in the bucket, is that the fatal flaw in the California model?
Well, I think we have to remember, Tom, that California in its private sector is still the eighth largest economy on the planet. What we have in California, and you said it beautifully a couple minutes ago, you said the New Deal run amok. What we have in California is a political crisis. It's not that we couldn't pay for these things. It's not that we couldn't close that $28 billion gap. It's that we have a deep political division regarding the public sector. The New Deal run amok is a wonderful theme. You know, Mae West once said, too much of a good thing is wonderful. But in California, too much of the public sector has moved out ahead of the anchorage that that kind of public sector has to have in voter and taxpayer assent. And that's our crisis. Not the crisis, as Mr. Lockwood brought up, not the crisis in our universities, not the crisis in the vitality of our private sector, but in the fact that our social programs and our regulatory culture has just gotten out of control.
But the Economist makes the case, and forgive me, Professor Starr, but essentially that you can't separate these two, that your political crisis is now sort of kicking a hole in the boat of your economy, and you've got the unemployment figures and the population outflow figures to prove it.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to separate them. I'm an avid reader of The Economist, and agree with about 70-80% of what I read in that newspaper, not magazine, but newspaper,
as they say.
But notice how honest Mr. Smith and Mr. Lockwood have been, and how The Economist has been in Mr. Lockwood's article about the gap in Texas, the fact that you have an emaciated, non-developed or minimally developed public sector. And in California, you have an overdeveloped public sector. In each case, you have a lot of talent and ambition and a great sense of tradition. Now, I think rather than it's either or, I think the two models are going to converge. I think California is in the process now of learning Texas lessons politically, that you can't expand the public sector beyond the assent of the taxpayer, given the political system. And I think Texas has some very painful lessons to learn as it evolves and starts having to spend money on health care, having to spend money on education, as Texas goes Democratic, and which is brought up very wonderfully by the Economist article. Yeah. I think you're having a convergence of models. I think Texas could learn from California that it must expand its social infrastructure, but don't do it beyond the willingness of the political system to sustain it. And California has to learn from Texas, curb the utopian instinct that's behind California. Curb the notion that California is a free ride.
Everybody, if we can just stand by for a second, because we've got listeners across the country who really want to jump in here. And Christopher Lockwood in London, Evan Smith in Austin, Kevin Starr in San Francisco. I'll come to you all, but let's hear right here from Forestville, Virginia, and Kathy. Kathy, you're on the air. What do you know about Texas and California?
Well, I'm from Texas, even though I'm living in Virginia now, and I'm a Texas girl and always will be. So if I had to move tomorrow, I'd gladly move back to Texas. The jobs that I'm qualified for are abundant in Texas, where the half the time I've been in Virginia, I have been unemployed. But there are two things that I'd like to debate about going back to Texas.
Okay.
The main thing is the heat. And
too darn hot.
Not much they can do about that, though.
I've been sleeping under blankets out here in Virginia. I'm just up the street. I'm in Shenandoah County, a valley. It's beautiful here, the mountains, the air, the green.
All right, there's one gripe. It's too hot in Texas. What's your second, Kathy?
Well, and the air pollution. And then the taxes are not that low for the average person. And I'm talking about people in Houston because that's where I'm from. The sales tax, the price of car registration, and the property taxes. make up for the taxes, the income tax I pay in Virginia, and the personal property tax I pay here.
That you would not pay that state tax in Texas. Kathy, thanks for the report. Let's get one more from North Hero, Vermont. Robert, you're on the air. Texas, California, Robert.
Oh, definitely Texas. Tom, I've lived in both states, worked in both states, and led a national retail company based in Texas for a number of years. And it's California is about self-fulfillment, self-gratification, personal focus. Texas is very, very different. It's about community. A handshake is really important in Texas. If you break a handshake deal, that's a big crime.
What about the low education rate, the high air pollution, the high teenage birth rate, you know, all that, the low voter turnout, the civic?
I would just say there's problems everywhere, and there are problems in Texas. There's not there's inequality everywhere. There's slums, but I'll tell you, if there was a national TV reality show sort of based on regional business teams, the okay. first thing I'd do is fly to Texas and put the team together.
Okay.
It's an incredible business climate.
Gung-ho for business. We've got it. Let's go to our guest, Christopher Lockwood. First to you, we've heard from San Francisco and Austin and our listeners around the country. What are you hearing?
Well, what interests me is that I don't hear very many people disagreeing with the general import of what we had to say, which is that the California model has got itself, you know, badly out of control. It's become profoundly anti-business. It taxes too high. It regulates too much. It can't raise the money from its citizenry. That is a serious problem. But again, Texas also has its problems. The really interesting thing is how can the two learn from each other? It's clear that they have to. But how can Texas emulate some of what's good about California, the better social services, all of that stuff, particularly the universities, but also schools, not that the schools are so great in California, how can it improve those things without going the way that California went? It tips Democratic, it raises taxes, and before you know it, you might end up with a Texas-California. That is my great worry, and I couldn't really answer it in the piece that I did because I don't know what the solution is. Mm. They just have to be very careful, is what I concluded.
Evan Smith, what do you say? Can you sop up some California style and still be Texas, or do you have to be sort of lean and mean, at least in government terms, with all that might suggest?
Well, I think despite the stereotype, we're not necessarily prone to arrogance. I think we can stand to learn from anybody. But I want to say, though, that I think some of the comments about Texas have been interesting because the woman from Virginia, who certainly had an accent that made her sound like she was from Texas, suggested that the taxes were not all that low in Texas. The reality is that the taxes in Texas are enormously low. And that is one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, that things here have been so good for so many people. You know, they say we're a low-tax, low-service state. We don't have a personal income tax. The reality is that we don't tax people hardly at all for the kinds of things that happen in other states. But the downside of that is the low-service part. When Molly Ivins was alive, she used to say that Texas was Mississippi with better roads.
Mm.
Well, you now may find people who tell you that we're just Mississippi. Our roads aren't even that good anymore. When you don't pay a lot of taxes, you don't get a lot of state services, and that results in some of the problems that you've heard people talk about. I mean, I think Christopher's article is terrific. I would say if there's a lot of money that the state is suddenly putting into education and health care and other things as a consequence of our good economy, I'm not actually seeing it from this distance from the Capitol.
Kevin Starr, how about it? California hasn't got our first two callers' votes. You're hearing, you know, enthusiasm for the business climate in Texas, if not the temperature.
Kathy complains about being too hot, and in his article, Mr. Lockwood talks about them having room to expand about the Texas landscape. Mm. And, of course, in California you have earthquakes, a tremendous problem with earthquake, and recurrent problems with wildfire. So I think each region of this great nation has physical problems. But I like the idea that the two states can learn from each other. I think California is in a crisis condition. And every time California gets in a crisis condition, it provokes responses such as the Economist cover article. And, mm-hmm. and they're legitimate responses because California functions as a bellwether state, as does Texas. In the early 1990s, Time magazine was saying California, the vanishing dream on the cover.
Yep.
And the dream was in battle. And then it came back and then went down again. But California now is going through a period, and Governor Schwarzenegger is leading this very courageously, using the enormous social capital he has, the fact that he has only a year and a half left to go, and he really is not ambitious for anything politically, to try and get California to concentrate on the fact that its private sector has all sorts of possibilities, its landscape, its talent, its university culture, but it has taken its public sector and run with that out ahead of political consensus.
And that's exactly where we're interested at the national level, about the balance here that gets a good economy and affordable services and a healthy economy. Let's go to Thrasher in Birmingham, Michigan. Thrasher, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
I wouldn't be caught dead in Texas as a black man. It's one of the most racist states in the union, and it's not conducive for progressive kumbaya experiences. It's a terrible state. With the corrections piece, the criminal justice system there is very biased towards people of color. It's just a terrible. It's almost a third world state with regard to social and progressive issues. And I'm embarrassed by the state sometimes. When people tell me they're from Texas, I wonder if they're black. How do they live down there? It's not a racially progressive state.
Thrasher, I'm sure we have listeners who may not along with you there in agreement, others who may not. But what about the economic difference? You're sitting in Michigan. You look at the unemployment rate in Texas. That's got to look good.
No, the economics in Michigan aren't that great, but the cultural reality is much more progressive. Our educational systems are much more progressive. The people are much more progressive. We have a union-based economy here in Michigan. I don't think you have that in Texas. Texas is a third world state, and it's really uncomfortable being there if you're a person of color.
We got it. Loud and clear. Thank you, Thrasher. Evan Smith, there's a challenge from Michigan. What do you say?
Well, I could point to things about Michigan that people outside of Michigan might find to be offensive as well. And the reality is there's no question the state needs to do better at solving the problems of poorer communities, of minority communities. As I said, we're about to be a majority Hispanic state, and that's the community that may be hardest hit in this economy, even if we're doing well. The fact is, I think that no one would mistake Texas for California or New York in terms of its progressiveness. And, you know, again, this notion that Texas is somehow trending Democratic, well, I still think we're a ways off. And the fact is, as the political realities and the economic realities have butted heads in California, so have they butted heads here. The conservative political model has definitely helped the economy do well, but on the progressive side, there's no question that the caller is at least generally right that we have a lot of work to do.
Christopher Lockwood, you hear the caller saying that you're championing, in effect, a third world state. What do you say, Editor Lockwood?
Well, I do think that African Americans in Texas have had a bit of a raw deal. There's no question about that. And the reason is partly, of course, that the Hispanic group has done really pretty well over recent years, rising up in numbers and sort of climbing up the economic ladder as well. And so the black population, only about sort of 10-12% or so, a little more, has clearly been somewhat left behind. And I do think that is a big problem for Texas.
But there was a famous man pulled behind a pickup truck, and it wasn't driven by a Hispanic.
No, that's right. That's right. It happened.
I mean, that's not just competing ethnic groups. That Thrasher says racism. That one instance was certainly an example.
It was a truly terrible thing in every state. It happens in other places too. It was utterly indefensible.
Yeah, there are racist jerks in every state. I cannot for a moment and won't try to defend the people who pulled James Byrd behind that pickup truck. They should go away and not come back. But the reality is there are racist jerks in all 50 states, and we ought to get rid of them in all 50 states.
Evans,
one thing I would add, actually, is that Texas is really sort of quite a contrasting place in this way. Yes, you've got a lot of quite redneck areas, but you also have a city like Austin, which is a progressive city, is a very much of a democratic feel to it. It's you could almost feel that you're in California in Austin.
Welcome to the hotel.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about troubled California, surging Texas, and who's got the model, maybe, for the next American dream coming out of this great recession we're in. We've been joined by Christopher Lockwood, United States editor for The Economist magazine, newspaper, call it what you will. He joins us from London. His report in this week's Economist is Lone Star Rising. A lot to be said in his report for Texas. Kevin Starr is with us from San Francisco, professor of history at USC and author of America and the California Dream, multi-volume on the history of California. And Evan Smith is here from Austin, Texas, editor-in-chief of Texas Monthly. I hope we can talk about how these, what amalgam there might be that might fit the energy, the best energies of these two together. But let's get to a few callers. In New York, Watertown, New York, Thomas, you're on the air.
Thank you. I think the first issue is politics. If you look at California politics, you find people who have no idea that economic forces are not subject to legislation. The case in point, obviously, is the energy crisis that they had a couple of years ago. The other issue I think that is a separator is immigration. Now, illegal immigration occurs in California as well as Texas, but in California they've tried to be everything to everybody. And I wonder just how much of the figures that make Texas look so bad are a result of illegal immigrants.
We'll pick it up. And Christopher Lockwood in London, let me come to you because you look at both states, each state, on terms of immigration, not only immigrants in the country and many from Mexico, but also on how the states get along with Mexico. What about that piece?
Well, illegal immigration causes certain problems, and people focus on them all the time. There are crime problems. There are problems whereby people that come along with their children, the children have to be educated at state expense. And, of course, there are more pressures on health systems. But when people say that, they tend to neglect the benefits, and there are plenty of benefits. People often say illegal immigrants don't pay any tax. Well, it's not true. They pay sales tax. They'll probably pay property tax because they've got to live somewhere. So they do pay quite a lot of taxes. Low-income people don't pay much income tax anyway, and of course they don't pay much income tax, but they wouldn't even if they were legal in all likelihood. In fact, most economic analysis suggests they are, on the whole, basically a positive for the economy, not a negative one. Very often illegal immigrants in Texas were there doing jobs that it simply wasn't economic to get anyone else to do. Nobody would want to do it at a price that could be afforded. I'm talking about working in fields mostly. Very tough, very, very hard work. So I think that's been a little bit overplayed. Most people one talks to in Texas see immigrants of all kinds, whether illegal or legal, as a strength, not a problem for Texas. Of course, if illegal immigration were to get completely out of control, yes, possibly a problem. But at the levels that we have, and it's quite a lot of people, perhaps as many as 6 or 7% of the entire population of Texas might be in some sense illegal. They may have been there for a very long time, but they're not properly documented and are illegal. That has been a strength for Texas.
Kevin Starr, how do you see the immigration piece of the equation in California and how California's handled it?
Well, I think California has a multiplicity of identities. You take, for instance, Los Angeles. It's the second largest Mexican city on the planet. It's the second largest Korean city on the planet. It's a ranking Armenian city, Iranian city, Ethiopian city. So you have a society struggling to be ecumenical. Now, this same Los Angeles also had major urban riots in 1964 and 1992, so it's not perfect in that regard. But what I think will not happen in California is a baiting of the immigrants. And I think that I think Mr. Lockwood's point of view is much more of a not exclusively California, but more a Californian's attitude.
What do you mean by baiting of immigrants in this?
Well, the baiting of illegal immigrants, just to say that they're the cause. In other words, our caller from Watertown wants to make illegal immigrants. I would rather start with misbehavior on Wall Street, for instance, to see about what's happening with the economy of America today, rather than to beat up on some hardworking busboy in a restaurant doing work that nobody else wants to do.
Right.
Evan, how about the immigration piece where Texas is concerned?
I love what Professor Starr said. I think he's exactly right. Look, the hard line on immigration in Texas is largely rhetorical. The fact is we have had dynamic population growth fueled at least partly by folks coming across the border into the state. They are doing jobs that nobody else will do. They add an enormous amount to the cultural life of this state. The demographic change is here. It's not maybe going to be here. It's come. It's inevitable. And the fact is, what Christopher Lockwood points to is true, that the healthcare system and the education system and everything else are definitely being crushed by the weight of all these new people coming to town. But to scapegoat illegal immigrants as the reason that Texas has got all these problems on social services and in the progressive issues is just nuts. The benefits of immigration into Texas far outweigh the drawbacks.
Let's get a call from Lindenville, Vermont, and Ben. Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Hi, well.
It seems to me that Texas is attracting business so well precisely because it hasn't tried very hard to protect its people or its environment, whereas California really made an effort to do that and put in all kinds of protections you know, there's a cost, and a fairly large cost, to actually trying to protect the environment and provide health care. And I suspect the Economist article, which I haven't read, but I suspect that it's not really quantitatively taking that into account. I would suggest that Texas is really more the new China, not really the new America.
The new China, what, because it's despoiling itself as it succeeds.
Right.
Christopher Lockwood? Ben, let me ask you first before I go to Editor Lockwood. What about on the California, you know, numbers side of the equation? I mean, they've got this deficit. They're issuing IOUs, for heaven's sakes. The headline today, the lead out of California, is they're going to profoundly have to make cuts that will profoundly alter the state's relationship with city and millions of residents who receive basic services. Does that say to you, Ben, that something's out of whack there?
Well, Tom, it was the lack of regulation in the first place that put us into this economic crisis. So, of course, states that have spent a lot on the environment and health care are going to have these problems right now. But I don't think that reflects on their intention or the quality of what they're trying to do. I think it's just the reality of an economic crisis brought on by essentially criminal behavior caused by lack of regulation, which is exactly what's driving this boom in Texas.
Ben, we've got it. Christopher Lockwood, there's the charge. You're championing, you know, China on the Rio Grande.
I think it's a little harsh. Look, in the past, let's talk for a second about Houston, because that is the great sort of oil town of Texas and the very busy port and all the rest of it. And it has certainly been the case that air quality, water quality in Houston has in the past been quite bad and is still not great. But you begin to see how that will change. They've had a very impressive mayor down there for the last few years, Bill White, strongly supported by business, but he's also forced a big cleanup, both of water and air, so that we're now getting, for at least some of the problems, things returned to an acceptable level. And he's done that precisely with the support of business, precisely because business people now better understand, I think, that cities compete across the whole world, across the whole country and across the whole world, to bring in talent, and people will not come to a city that's lacking in services or too unpleasant to live in. So a cleanup is going on. There's no doubt about it.
Orpheus in Boston, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think this view of growth and economical development is very short-sighted and old-fashioned, in my opinion. Increasing development in the state of Texas will, over the years, inevitably lead to increases in cost of living, cost of labor due to cost of development, infrastructure, schools, etc. And then always at the expense of the more developed states like upper Midwest, Michigan, Ohio, California. In essence, only repeating the same mistakes that these states, especially California, did 50, 60 years ago, I think. I'm not sure exactly when. And the same results will then occur with much economical and ecological expense. So in my opinion, this is dumb growth and not smart growth.
So is California smart growth?
No, I mean, they made mistakes, and that's why they came to this. There's some things you can choose to do, and then some things that happen by themselves. They developed the infrastructure, labor, started organizing itself. Everything became more expensive, houses, labor. So now they have all these costs. They need to ask their citizens to pay taxes. So they have these high taxes, so the Texas now advertises with low cost of living, no taxes for income. So all these businesses that have developed in California now moving to Texas or from other states, and then the same will happen there again. It'll just repeat itself.
So you don't like either one, so where would you look, Orpheus, for the model?
I don't like either one. I'm just saying it's a flawed discussion. 50 years from now, Texas will be like California. So we should be thinking differently. We should be saying the country or the world has to develop differently, not one state at the cost of the other.
We're wide open to that. What's your model, Orpheus?
Well, I think a more, what's my model? If I knew the model, I think I'd be doing something else. I don't know. I mean, I'm asking, let's take the question to the discussants.
Okay, we've got it. Orpheus, thank you. Let me get a couple more calls and we'll do that. Paul in Boston, you're on the air.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I think the comment that was just made is not necessarily pragmatic nor realistic. I mean, the reality is we have to take every year and every 5 years at a time, and there's no such thing as managed growth. And the minute you try to manage cyclical growth, you can either get too much, or if you try to manage it down, you can lead into recession. My recommendation is we have to find some sort of balance between, call it the social welfare state of California and social prosperity, and more the economic prosperity that we find in Dallas. Having lived in both states, having done business in both states, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I prefer Texas only because I think it's easier to improve in a balanced way, not overcorrect, social issues and social prosperity than it is to improve economic prosperity. Economic prosperity, once you allow what has occurred in California to take place, I just think it's nearly impossible to come back so quickly to correct some of the things that are just institutionalized at this point.
Wow, that's hard, but let's pick it up. Kevin Starr, how about it? You've got terrific engines there of growth, Silicon Valley, your great universities, your great venture capital sector. But here's Paul calling and saying, you know what, you may be in over your head given what you've promised on the social side.
I think Paul makes a very good point that it's going to be a long ordeal. Both sides in this current budget impasse, which is a political problem as well as an economic problem, each side is looking now, even as we talk, looking the Gorgon in the face. Now, if you look at the Gorgon, if I remember my mythology correctly, mm-hmm. you turn into stone. I don't think California is going to turn into stone, and I don't think it's going to embrace catastrophic collapse this time around. And then have to be put in under federal receivership in terms of its debts that owned by the state. But I do think that there is a great awakening growing in California, saying that we cannot – this utopian impulse is powerful in California. It's reinforced by the landscape. It's reinforced by the California myth, if you will. But we've got to anchor it onto political consensus. That's going to be very painful. And I think Orpheus in Boston makes a wonderful point, too, which I tried to make earlier in mm-hmm. my remarks, that the more Texas grows, the more it'll become like California in terms of the more Democratic it becomes, the more Hispanic it becomes, the more minority state it becomes, the more it seeks quality of life, as, say, promoted in Austin, and mm-hmm. the more the kind of Texas Monthly point of view begins to prevail, which is interestingly linked to California, the more Texas is going to face the same problems we're facing now.
The Economist makes the same point, and they make it as a warning. Let me get a couple calls, and we'll come to you, Evan Smith. Mike in Detroit, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah.
I wanted to just make a quick comment and say that we're focusing on great Texas is doing in terms of its economy. I think that there's no question about that. But one point that we're missing is that, like some of your previous some of the previous comments have been made, is that the education is flawed in Texas. I'm originally from Texas, and I went to private schools while I was in Texas because the education system was not good, and I had to leave Texas to go to a great university.
Mike, we'll pick it up. Our time is short, but we take your point. It's a good one. We'll hold Mike's point and get Amy here from Salem, Massachusetts. Amy, you're on the air.
Two comments. Well, the first is an anecdote. I'm an editor, and I happen to be editing an article right now about the construction industry in Texas, and it gives a perfect example of the deficits in the kind of social infrastructure. Apparently, Texas has an unbelievably high rate of worker fatalities in the construction industry, way higher than any other state, including California. And there's a egregious lack of inspectors.
Okay.
So that's just a story. But I think more generally, the discussion is kind of assuming that the competition between states and regions and municipalities for business is inevitable, and that inevitably means a race to the bottom where every state is trying to offer bigger tax breaks and cut its taxes and cut its social services in order to attract business. And it's a losing game for almost everybody. And I think it's important to note that there's a movement in this country to try to get out of that particular race to the bottom by building locally grounded economies that are not subject to the whims of faraway corporate decision makers who will, you know, pick up and leave because they can get a marginally lower tax rate somewhere else.
And take their Fortune 500 headquarters to Texas. Amy, thank you. Evan Smith, you're listening there. There's some criticisms of Texas, the race to the bottom notion again, but we're trying to steer toward something that works, that might work nationally. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm still focused back on Orpheus's comment about how Texas is doomed and how in 50 years the problems of California will be visited upon us. What I would point out to Orpheus and everybody else is that whatever else you can say about Texas, we learn from history. In the 80s, we had a terrible economic collapse
mm-hmm.
and a banking collapse. We lost 368 banks. We lost 300,000 jobs. We came back and figured out that community banking was the way to go. Our banks are now stronger than most banks in other states.
And your foreclosure's lowest in the country.
Our foreclosure's lowest. You know, our loan situation is better than it is in other states. What I would say to Orpheus and everybody else is we see what's happening in California. We see what's happening elsewhere. We're not going to blindly go into the future. We're going to go into the future with our eyes open and try not to repeat some of the mistakes we're seeing elsewhere.
Christopher Lockwood, we come back to you. You got us kicked off here with your provocative, really interesting cover stories. What do you think coming out of this conversation? You're listening to Americans around the country think about these two states and the models. You're sitting in London watching all of us. What do you say?
Well, I think what I take away from this discussion that we've had, both with the other participants and with the audience phoning in, mm-hmm. is that everybody can see that California's model is not sustainable, that it will need very radical, mainly political change. It's the political problems that cause the economic problems fundamentally, as Professor Starr has noted. And that will have to happen. Otherwise, the future for California is rather bleak. But equally, you know, nobody is saying that Texas has got all of the answers. The question will be, how can it improve the things that need improving without jacking up taxes to the extent that the business goes away again? Well, on The Economist, we would say this is perfectly possible. You can improve schools by making more use of charter schools, for instance. There are lots of good market mechanisms you can use that will provide better services without costing a lot more money. And we talk about some of those in my survey.
Kevin Starr, we've got 10 seconds for you. Is California going to make it, sir?
California will make it, but it's going to learn what Unamuno teaches us, that we have to embrace the tragic sense of life.
Embrace the tragic sense of life. That doesn't sound like a motto on a flag, at least not yet.
But California's learning limits. Jerry Brown was telling us that 35 years ago, that we have to balance off our utopianism with realism.
And here we go. Here we go to the future. Kevin Starr in California, Evan Smith at Texas Monthly, and Christopher Lockwood at The Economist. Thank you to each of you for being with us this hour. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.